من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه: إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. Respected scholars, all brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa azamallahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi amir al-mu'minin wa ya'asub al-din imam al-muttaqin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi afdalu salawati wa tahiyyat. It's the night of the 19th of the month of Ramadan, the night of Shab-e Zarbat, the night that we are all expecting, especially the household of the Prophet are expecting a big catastrophe that had taken place in a day similar to tomorrow morning, right during the morning prayer. Crystallization of human justice will be struck. And any human being who cares about justice, cares about the noble characters of Imam Ali alayhi salam, will be mourning in these days and nights. And for this reason, on behalf of all of you and my humbleness, allow me to convey our sincere condolences and commiseration first and foremost of the present Imam, Imam al-Hujja ajjalallahu farajahu sharif, and Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad and all members of the holy household of the Prophet, in particular Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, the holy Prophet of Islam, and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhim afdalul salawat wa tahiyyat. Let me take advantage of, alhamdulillah, the opportunity that we have a bigger gathering inshallah these nights. One issue, jurisprudential issue, I touch on very quickly before we get to the topic of tonight, and that is brothers and sisters who have excuse to stand normally and offer their prayers and use chair or sit on chair and things like that. Please remember this. From my memory, I remember last year I had touched on this, but doesn't harm to repeat again. We are only excused for parts that we are excused to change it to a different posture and position. For example, if I've got a knee problem, if I've got a problem with my back, or for whatever reason, I cannot sit on the floor to do my tashahud, and hence I'm using the chair. Only that part that I'm unable to do, do it on the chair. Don't sit on the floor. But if I can stand up, I don't have any problem standing up. Even though I'm using the chair for the qiraat of the namaz, the condition is that we have to do it standing up. So stand up from the chair while you are standing up, do your qiraat. Then for the ruku, even you don't have to do it seated if you can stand up. I assume that you should be all right to put your hands on your knees like normal ruku. When you have to go to the sajda, because you can't sit on the floor, sit on the chair. And you may have a table in front of you, use it like for sajdagah, and you put the sajdagah and the turba on it as well. Again, when we are doing the sajda, remember that seven parts in normal situation, they have to touch the ground. Forehead, that we put it on turba, palms, knees and the big toes mainly. All right. Sejdegah, I do it. Palms of my hand, do it. Knees, I can't because I can't sit on the floor. So knees are exempt. What about the toes? Why shouldn't I put the toes? You can put the toes. Like as I'm sitting here on the chair, I can like put my toes touching the ground like this. All right. So please remember, in general, the ruling is this: only the parts that you are unable to do are exempt. You are exempt about, and you can find an alternative that would be more convenient for you. Even standing up, our fuqaha, they say that even if it's difficult for you to stand on your own, but if you lean against a stick, hand stick, you can stand. Lean against hand stick. Don't sit immediately. Or you can stay somewhere to lean against the wall, if possible. Lean against the wall. Position of sitting comes when there is no any nearer alternative. Always choose alternatives that are the nearest to the normal position and situation. Inshallah, it's clear with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You remember, inshallah, from last night, we officially said that we are starting the main theme for this year, and that is, inshallah, be more acquainted with the Quran, and we want to be more familiarized with the Holy Quran. So the main focus will be on the Quran. However, the nights that belong to certain occasions, of course, we have to speak about those occasions. I tried, and inshallah, I endeavor in the coming nights also as well, to kind of amalgamate between the occasion of the night and also speaking about the Quran. And therefore, the topic that I have, inshallah, to share with you tonight is about Imam Ali alayhi salam in the glorious and in the Holy Quran. The question is Imam Ali alayhi salam ever mentioned in the Quran? Such a great personality in Islam, or he's not mentioned in the Quran? The first point is that we need to remember Imam Ali alayhi salam during the Battle of Siffin, when the enemies, they raised the copies of the Quran on the peak of the spears to fool the army of Imam Ali alayhi salam so that they don't continue shooting and fighting. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that I am the speaking Quran. That is a silent Quran. That is piece of, that those are papers, ink and papers. The real Quran is here in my heart. Meaning that don't let them abuse the Quran and fool you and play with your intelligence. So this is one testimony from Imam Ali alayhi salam, that Imam Ali is Quran in practice. Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Amuni Hafizahullah, our teacher, was saying that the main purpose of revelation of the Quran to the Prophet and for all of us to learn, inshallah we'll talk about this in due course, is that each and every one of us will become Quran in practice. The more you and I become Quran in practice, the more we are with the Quran and the more we are going to stay with the Quran, both in this dunya and in the hereafter. Imam Ali alayhi salam was definitely the crystallization of the Holy Quran in practice, undoubtedly. So the question of whether Quran is the name of Imam Ali is mentioned in the Quran or not, we say, what are you talking about? Imam Ali, it means Quran in practice. Supporting this, on the top of that, the Holy Prophet of Islam and Shia and Sunni have narrated this hadith that's quoted from the Holy Prophet to have said, عَلِيٌّ مَعَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ مَعَ عَلِيٍّ لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَ حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحُوضِ. Quran is with Ali. Ali, Imam Ali, is with the Quran. They will never be separated until they come to me at the pool of Kawthar in paradise. Inasmuch as the Holy Quran is infallible, Imam Ali alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are also infallible. These two will never be separated from each other. It means that there will never be an occasion, situation like this, that may God forbid Imam Ali goes against the Quran. That's the meaning of Quran and Imam Ali being together. Besides, Ibn Abbas is a very famous companion of companion Tabi'in, and some even regarded him, depending on the definition, as one of the companions of the Prophet. Sunni scholars, they take so many narrations, especially when it comes to Tafsir Quran, from Ibn Abbas, that they refer to him as Hebrul Ummah, a scholar that if we didn't have narrations from him, they say we would not have tangible information about the tafsir of the Quran. All right, Ibn Abbas was one of the very close students of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he himself, he says that I tell you that about no one in the Quran we have ayat in as much as we have about Imam Ali alayhi salam. You appreciate that so many ayat in the Quran, they have context. There are circumstances under which the ayah is revealed. Especially I'm talking about companions of the Prophet, occasions that happened during the lifetime of the Holy Prophet of Islam. Ibn Abbas says so many ayat in the Quran are revealed to the Prophet with regards to the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that no one can compete Ali ibn Abi Talib in that level. Mujahid is again another very famous companion of the companions, Tabi'i. Also, for those who are familiar with Tafsir Tabari and these famous Tafasir of Ahl Sunnah, almost every second line you see quotations from Mujahid. This is the narrator. Ahadith and in Tafsir Quran from Mujahid. Mujahid says that at least I came across 70 ayat in the Quran that are exclusively about Imam Ali alayhi salam, that no one can compete Imam Ali when it comes to the virtues of Imam Ali mentioned in the Quran. None of the companions can ever compete Ali ibn Abi Talib. And therefore one of the again Tabi'in, he says that I was asked about the companions of the Prophet, which one is more virtuous? And this is not a Shia narration, by the way. I'm quoting from Musnad Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal from the Sunni world. He says, I started counting Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Talha, and continued. Somebody says, what about Ali ibn Abi Talib? He says, sorry brother, are you asking me about the companions of the Prophet, or you're asking about the nafs of Prophet? Ali ibn Abi Talib is not along the companions of the Prophet. You ask me about those who enjoy the company of the Prophet. These are the ones that, yes, they enjoy the company of the Prophet. Ali ibn Abi Talib, his status is way beyond all of these. So there is no question that, yes, we have so much in the Quran about Amirul Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. However, if somebody says, all right, Shaykh, if that's the case, show me an ayah, quote an ayah that the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran. I tell you that in a normal way, no, there is not. Not only the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam is not mentioned, the name of Fatima al-Zahra, Hassanain, Ahlul Bayt, names specifically is not mentioned in the Quran. For a good reason, the style of the Quran is not like this. In fact, among all those who enjoyed and were living at the time of the Prophet, although so many ayat, as I said, were revealed with regards to them, occasions about them, only one companion who was a kind of a stepson, if we can call it a stepson of the Prophet, Zayd, and his wife Zainab, who was the cousin of the Prophet, these two, one female at the time of the Prophet and one male at the time of the Prophet, and they are Zainab and Zayd. In Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, the names are exceptionally mentioned in the Quran. And that is not because of any virtue associated with them, because it was a very controversial story, and munafiqeen and hypocrites, they had unfortunately spread a very nasty sexual, a scandal against the Holy Prophet of Islam. In order for the Almighty God to protect the reputation of His Prophet, the names of these people, Zayd and Zainab, had to be mentioned without going to the details of it. Otherwise, you see, Quran never mentions the names. Makes it very general. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, among people are those, it's very interesting, the style of the Quran, are those who sells his life, are those who sells his life. So it's obvious God is talking about one person, because he said, مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ Not أَنفُسَهُمْ Their lives, his life. Although the style is general. See, we do have this kind of expression and conversation in English as well. If I don't want you to know whether I'm talking about a male or female, because in Arabic also we have feminine and masculine, I don't want you to know whether I'm talking about a girl or a guy, I say that, like, they have told me, it's one person. But I'm conscious if I want to use singular, I have to say he or she. You would know whether I'm talking about he or she. Then he will be in trouble. His voice is, who are you talking about? So he makes it they, makes it general. Why Quran has this kind of a style? Because it is the characteristics even of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Quran wants to teach us that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are honored, respected, not because of necessarily their blood relation with the Holy Prophet of Islam. It's because of the virtues, excellencies, characters that enjoyed. And hence, like this ayah that I just recited, is about Imam alayhi salam, Laylatul Mabit, that he slept in the bed of the Prophet so that the Prophet could leave Mecca. So because God wants to tell us the reason that I'm praising this person is because of his sacrifice for the sake of Islam, doesn't mention Imam Ali, says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بْتَغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, that he is offering his life for the pleasure of God. He's willing to be killed for the pleasure of God. So tomorrow we say the reason that we love Amir al-Mu'mineen, when we follow Amir al-Mu'mineen, and we say that he deserves more than anyone else to be the successor of Amir al-Mu'mineen, one reason is because he's the one who sacrificed his life for the sake of Islam. Not just because his name is Ali ibn Abi Talib. All right, inshallah, it's clear with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So many ayat, to be honest with you, this is just as a footnote I mentioned. I picked up today when I was preparing my lecture to talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam. Then I said to myself, this may be difficult to explain it. This may be difficult. I tried to find an ayah that, in my opinion, most of you, inshallah, all of you have heard it a lot. Especially you are reading Hadith Kisa. And perhaps even you know the ayah off by heart. Because you're familiar with the ayah, it makes it easier for me to explain it here on the member without any PowerPoint facilities as well, to speak about the virtues of Amirul Mu'minin Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Quran, after at least one of the 70 ayah that we have in the Quran exclusively about Imam Ali alayhi salam. And another reason that I chose this one also, because in Sahih Muslim, which is the second most important book of Hadith among Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, on the chapter of the virtues and fada'il Imam Ali alayhi salam, he refers and he mentions this ayah of the Quran. Interestingly, Muslim does not mention this ayah when he's talking about the wives of the Prophet. When talking about Ahlul Bayt in general, and also specifically when he's talking about the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam, brings this ayah and the narrations under this ayah as well. Chapter 33, ayah 33. Very easy to remember it, huh? Suratul Ahzab, ayah 33. Deliberately, I read the whole ayah, not only the part that you are more familiar with, because of the interpretation and explanation that in the night of Quran, we want to learn at least about one ayah of the Quran before we go home, inshallah, tonight. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa qarna fi buyutikunna. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةِ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Even with all respect, if you don't have any Arabic background, you appreciate that in Arabic we have feminine nouns and pronouns and we have masculine nouns and pronouns. The beginning of this ayah, as I recited it, even the sound of it you could see was different to the end of it. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتَكُنَّ, this is addressing females. In English translation this will be lost. And that's why when you read the English translation, unless if the translator keeps saying that, unfortunately some of them, in my humble opinion, made these mistakes, they did and they should, keep saying that, you women, you ladies, otherwise a reader doesn't know whether this ayah is addressing male or females. Quran is addressing females, talking to the wives of the Prophet. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتَكُنَّ, stay in your houses. ولا تبرجنا تبرج الجاهلية, don't display yourself the way that women at the time of Jahiliyyah, former Jahiliyyah, they used to display themselves. Meaning that don't, when you come out, don't come with full on makeup, flashy dress and things like that. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Still is addressing females. وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةِ. You ladies, observe prayers. وَأَتِينَ الزَّكَاةِ. You ladies, give charity. وَأَتِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهِ. You ladies, obey Allah and the Messenger of Allah. All of the sudden, you see that there is a change in the pronouns of the ayah. إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم, not عنكن. Surely Allah has so willed to repel any kind of impurity from you men, not females anymore, عنكم, not عنكن, to the rest of the ayah. ويطهركم, not كن. Whereas in the beginning of the ayah, it was talking and addressing to females. The next ayah, ayah 34, again goes back talking to females. The same ladies and wives of the Prophet. That says that, وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. You ladies, again, talking to the wives of the Prophet. You ladies, remember the ayat that are revealed and recited in your houses, and the wisdom that are recited in your houses. So if I wish I could show it to you so that you could visualize it better, that ayah 33, the beginning of it to the half, is talking, addressing the wives of the Prophet. Then it changes, talking to men. Then the next ayah again, talking to the wives of the Prophet. And it's so easy to prove that anyone with elementary level of Arabic would acknowledge that. So much so that if you take that part that you know it off by heart, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ, if you take that one, that part out of ayah 33 and 34, ayah 33 and 34 are so connected to each other. Again, I hope I'm not boring you, but again, listen to the sound of it. Towards the end of it, to save time. وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةِ وَأَتِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. I pass by that part in Namayurid. وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. The flow of the ayah is so correct. It's just God is continuing and the sentence is not finished yet. That's why Shia and Sunni, no mufassir of the Quran has said that this part of Surah Ayah 33 of chapter 33 in Nama Yuridullah is revealed along with these ayat. The order of the revelation of this in Nama Yuridullah was not the way that you see today in the Quran. The beginning of Ayah 33 and the beginning of ayah 34 and before that, they were revealed in one bulk of revelation. This innama yuridullah was revealed separately. It was by divine order, according to one theory that we incline to, that the Holy Prophet of Islam had ordered the companions to put this part of the ayah to ayah 33, or after the Prophet, according to another opinion, it was placed there and confusion has occurred. Otherwise, Mufassirin of the Shia and Sunni, all they have said, this innama yuridullah liyuthiba ankum rijsa ahlal bayt was not revealed along before and the next ayat. And therefore, for early Muslims at the time of the Prophet, there was no issue knowing who these ahlul bayt are. It is for us that kind of confusion occurs, especially if we want to disregard the riwayat. And that's why it is so essential very often to go to the narrations that tell us the context of the ayah. If today I'm telling you we are talking something and then somebody takes Sheikh Mansour's talk out of context and imagine 1400 years ago, years later, they want to analyze it. How much chances of making a mistake? You brothers who are there, you will be there the best people to say that no, he said it under this context. And then it makes sense. Let's now review the ayah, inshallah, very quickly. Innama, it means, as I mentioned before, when we in Arabic we have this expression, this word, it means exclusively, only this. That God is saying that I have willed exceptionally for this certain group of people. This is not a public invitation. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ يُرِيد إِرَادَ will of God, especially in the present tense, it means a continuous will of God on certain thing that is mentioned in this ayah. Now, in principles of jurisprudence, our scholars, they say we have two types of will. One is called natural will or irada takwiniyya. Another one I translated as legislative will or irada tashri'iyya. Natural will is when you are willing, deciding on something upon yourself. You make an obligation upon yourself that I oblige myself, I decide, I so will that during the days of Ramadan I don't eat or drink. Night time, I let it free and I eat and drink. This is a personal will. So irada takwini, natural will, is a will that you impose upon yourself. The same applies to the Almighty God as well. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills something upon himself to do it, this is called irada takwiniyya. Therefore, the Almighty God so willed to create the universe, and the universe is created. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْنْ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. It does exist. Irada tashri'iyya is when you are commanding your subordinate to do something. You are passing a legislation within your household, in your office, in your country, you pass a legislation. For example, you pass a legislation that in Kenya, people, drivers, they have to drive left side, right side, in another country, and so forth. Okay? Irada tashri'iyya of Allah is that God so willed that mankind believe in Him and worship Him and pray, like daily prayers. The difference between natural will and legislative will is that natural will is inevitable, put it this way, inevitable. When God wills for something to happen in a natural will, it has to happen. It has to happen. No one can go against it. Whereas legislative will, God has given us free will. Yes, I so will that you worship me, you get up for morning prayer, but you may disobey. Shaitan may disobey and so forth. Okay? Now come back to, this was just a detour, very quick. Come back to the ayah. Ennamo yuridullah. This yuridullah, which kind of irada and the will of God is? Again, I'm quoting from Ibn Hajar, who has written a book, very inflammatory book against the Shia, known as Sawa'iqul Muhraqa. Our eminent scholars have written a commentary against it. Yet he admits that yuridullah in this ayah is irada takwiniyya. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala naturally so willed what we are going to talk about it. Meaning that it's a will of God that had to happen and has happened. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ. Again, I have to explain this. Forgive me for again taking you back to school. I know that the school holiday is just starting. You're having a break. And Sheikh again is taking us back to grammar class. In Arabic, again, you know how in English we have prepositions and postpositions? Like you have look, it depends on whether you say look in, look at, look upon, look up. The meaning of look changes, isn't it? The same we have it in Arabic as well. These prepositions and postpositions in Arabic also change the word, the meaning of the word completely. For example, ذهبه, if somebody asks you, what is ذهبه? You have to say, it depends on the preposition. Tell me the proposition, like if they tell you what's the meaning of look, say, look what? Look at, or look up, or look in, or look, you know? So here Quran says, لَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ. God so willed, and remember he's talking to males, a group of males. لَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ. ذَهَبَ, if it comes with preposition of an, it means you repel something from someone or a group of people. If it comes with ba, like ذَهَبَ بِهِ, it means you remove something from someone. Subhanallah. Look at one letter or two letters makes such a big difference in the status of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When I commit a sin and repent to God and going through so much for God to forgive me, God removes, inshallah, sin from me. you can say ذهب ذهب به if I can use it اذهب الله به اذهب الله بيذم God removed the sin from me. In this ayah, God doesn't say that God has removed the sin from Ahlul Bayt, because it doesn't say ذهب به. Like فلما ذهبوا به, when the brothers of Yusuf, they took him, he was somewhere, they removed him from his place, took him somewhere else. ذهب الله بنورهم. Hypocrites, they used to have a نور of iman. God removed that نور from them. Sin, what it does is that the نور that is in us removes it from us. Quran with regards to Ahlul Bayt doesn't say لِيُذْهِبَ بِكُمْ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ. The example in the Quran is like this. In paradise, inshallah, people who are in paradise says قَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ. Because there is no grief in paradise, they said Alhamdulillah that God is repelling, is keeping grief away from us. Grief doesn't come to them and then God removes it from them. Keeps it out of it. When it comes to Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I so willed that no rejs, that I have to explain that word again, no sin, no error, no forgetfulness, no ignorance, no insufficiency is getting close to them. Not that once upon a time they were idol worshippers like Umar ibn al-Khattab and then converted to Islam. Not that once upon a time they upset the Prophet and the Prophet, according to Muslim in his Sahih, the Prophet separated from her. I'm talking about Aisha and Hafsa for a month. This is a Sahih Muslim. And then they sought Prophet's forgiveness. Not like us that we sin and then repentance removes it. Ahlul Bayt never sinned from birth to death. Proof, لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ. This عَنْكُمْ does the job and explains the concept. لِيُذْهِبَ يعني, therefore say that God so will to repel, to keep it aloof from you, from birth to death. And the will of God, everybody says and knows that this natural will, it means inevitable. God so willed that Ahlul Bayt from birth to the, and that's why I said they are ma'soom. Alright? لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. I don't have breath and time to tell you that there is no determinism here. That requires another session. Let's move on here. لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ. Rijs, as I said in a nutshell, it means impurity, any kind of impurity. Insufficiency, sin, mortal, major, ignorance, forgetfulness. All of the above are repelled from Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. From who? Ankum Ahlul Bayt. Question is that who are Ahlul Bayt? That's why we need the context. Ahlul Bayt literally it means the household. My household consists of my wife, my children normally. If my parents live with me, my parents also as well. Household. But when we go to the context, and the wives of the Prophet, they assumed they are member of this Ahlul Bayt, especially with Al-Ma'rifah, that God is talking about specifically certain people, and deliberately changes the pronoun from feminine to masculine to show that I'm no longer here, I'm not talking about the wives of the Prophet. And I'm quoting from the Sunni authentic books, such as Sahih Muslim. As I told you in the beginning, Muslim mentions this ayah under the chapter of Fada'il Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam, not Fada'il Nisa'un Nabi. Muslim even knew that this ayah is not about the wives of the Prophet, because he had that basic understanding of Arabic language. Umm Salama says, I saw the Holy Prophet of Islam, that hadith Kisa that you have heard. The Prophet was in my room. The houses of the wives of the Prophet, like everyone had a room on her own. The Prophet was in my room, and then Fatima al-Zahra came. The Prophet opened his abba and said, Ya Fatima, come and sit under my abba. Imam Ali comes, Ya Ali come, Hassan came, Hussein came, Ahl Kisa, they got together. The Prophet puts them all under the abba. To do what? For the dummy's sake, exclusion. Exclusion under the abba. Umm Salama says, I was at the door watching the scene. I said, Ya Rasulallah, am I not one of your Ahlul Bayt? The Prophet says, Anti ala khair, you are a good lady. but Ahlul Bayt are who are under the kisa. هؤلاء لحم. They are my blood and flesh. Okay. The same similar situation we have with Aisha narrates, and she goes more into the details. She even describes the abba of the Prophet. It was a black rope or cloak or abba, whatever you call it, made of hair. And she says that Fatima, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Hassan and Hussein all sat under the abba of the Prophet. And then the Prophet recited this ayah, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. And then on the top of that, at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. تَطْهِير in Arabic language, we call it in grammar, we call it مفعول مطلق. It means infinitive, absolute infinitive. When God wants to emphasize on an action, the style in Arabic, we use مفعول مطلق. See, already God has said, يُطَهِّرَكُمْ. God has purified you, but to emphasize on it, and therefore we translate it as a thorough purification, we bring that maful mutlaq tatheera. Without tatheera, again, the meaning would be sort of complete. God has purified you. But to say that thorough complication, that word thorough comes with tatheera. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Even though I'm watching the clock, but I have to share this with you before I conclude, subhanallah. That Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, according to Tabrizi in his Majma' in Suratul Insan, Suratul Dahr, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا, Imam gives this explanation. Subhanallah, without Ahlul Bayt, we would not know the Quran. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, and I, with a bit of explanation from me to make it easier for everyone to grasp, we have something that is tahir, like for example, a glass of water is tahir, isn't it? It's clean, it's pak. A glass of orange juice is also tahir, it's pak. But can you make wudu with a glass of juice? You can't. Even though it's pak, but it's not a purifier. It's tahir, but it's not mutahir. Water is tahir and it's mutahir as well. You can remove the najasa as well. Ahlul Bayt al-Musalam, Quran says, وَيُطَهِّرُكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. God has made them mutahhir. Because they are mutahhar, they are mutahhir as well. And that is one of the reasons that you need to go to Ahlul Bayt al-Musalam for your sins to be forgiven. According to Surah An-Nisa, clearly, Quran says that those who have wronged themselves, if they go to the Prophet as a member of Ahlul Bayt al-Musalam, seeking God's forgiveness, and they match it. The Prophet, Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Fatima al-Zahra, they match it. Meaning that they ask God's forgiveness for you as well, then you will be purified. You will be forgiven as well. وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. صَلُّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدْ. Ya Allah, we are here tonight. Ya Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. What has happened to these brothers that all of a sudden they changed their clothes? Wearing black already. Something is happening and nothing has happened yet. Why is it that the community now is starting to grieve worldwide? The lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. I speak for myself. Ya Sahib al-Zaman. I cannot, it's too difficult really. I'm way away from it to claim that I'm Shi'at Ali ibn Abi Talib. But ya Sahib al-Zaman, inshallah we can claim that we are the lovers of Ali ibn Abi Talib. We love Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the Prophet has said, Al-Mar'u yahshuru ma'a man ahab. On the day of judgment you live with the ones that you love. Inshallah, the flame of the love of Amirul Mu'mineen is in our hearts and the hearts of our offspring and family. Ya Allah, we are here seeking association with Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. We are here to mourn for Amirul Mu'mineen. We are here to give our condolences to Fatima al-Zahra. In a night like tonight, the night of 19th of the month of Ramadan, Amir al-Mu'minin was in fact every night the guest in any of his children. Tonight he was the guest of Umm Kulthum, perhaps another name for Zainab al-Kubra salamullah alayha. He had a very light iftar. They said, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, Baba, why don't you eat? And Imam sent signals. I don't want to meet my Lord with full stomach. After the dinner, after the iftar, Umm Kulthum says that my dad was walking back and forth in the backyard of the house. And he was saying some poems that really made us suspect that something is happening. Keeps looking at the sky. And Imam says that it's come, it's tonight. All the songs are there. I said, yeah, Baba, Ya Abata, what are you talking about? What is it that you say all the sons are here? And Imam Amir al-Mu'minin says that my daughter, my cousin, the prophet, my brother had promised me that my beard will be dyed with my blood. He has given me sons, and I see all the sons are happening tonight. Tonight is the promised night. Tonight is the night that Ali has been longing for it all his life. When in the battle of Uhud, my uncle Hamza was martyred. I wish this to happen to me, the martyrdom I'm talking about. But the Prophet says, Ya Ali, your turn will come. He gave me signs. I see that all the signs are happening now. Imagine the daughter, your daughter knows that something is going to happen to you. Umm Kulthum says, I pleaded to my father, Ya Abata, Dad, please don't go for prayer tonight, today. Don't go to Masjid al-Kufa today. I'm scared, I'm worried about you, Dad. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says, my dear, the divine decree is there and is inevitable. Close to Fajr prayer, Imam Ali alayhi salam wants to leave home, subhanallah. Zainab, she says that in my house I had some ducks. These animals, instantly they notice a catastrophe is about to happen. They come trying to block the way of Amir al-Mu'minin, flapping. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, leave them. They are singing and soon you will hear the mourning of people of Kufa. Makes his way, he wants to open the door, subhanallah. Even the inanimates, they are trying to say, Ya Ali, please don't go. The door is jammed all of a sudden. Amir al-Mu'minin says, I am the remover of the gate of Khaybar. You want to stand on my way to martyrdom? Removes the whole gate of the house of Zainab and makes his way to Masjid al-Kufa. As he enters the masjid, imagine the scene. He's just about to say the adhan for the Fajr prayer. And the Imam himself, he used to go and call for adhan. Ibn Muljam al-La'in, he is lying down on the floor in one of the courtyards of Masjid al-Kufa. He is lying down on his chest, hiding his sword, la'natullah alayh. Imam passes by him, kicks him, and he says, don't sleep like hypocrites. Meaning that I know what you are up to. But Ali is not going to take revenge before any crime takes place. And makes his way, goes to the minaret first, calls for the adhan, long story short, comes down, leading the prayer, Ya Shi'at Amir al-Mu'minin, all the lovers of Amir al-Mu'minin, your Imam is in his mihrab, your Imam is in his intimacy and meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His body is in mihrab, Masjid al-Kufa, but his soul is already in paradise. Talking, communicating with God. As he goes for prostration, the first sajda, Ibn Muljam al-La'in had seated just right behind the Imam. The moment that Imam is sitting up from the sajda, first sajda, before anyone sits up, Ibn Muljam was ready. And with his poison sword, hardly struck, just pierced through the Imam of Amir al-Mu'minin and split the head of Amir al-Mu'minin.
امام علی علیه السلام cried first of Allah و رب الکعبه. By the Lord of Kaaba, Ali was longing for this martyrdom. I'm prosperous now. And then everybody heard a cry from the heaven. تهدمت والله أركان الخدا وانطمست العروة الوثقى قتل ابن عم المصطفى قتل علي المرتضى قتلوا أشغال أشقياء على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منغلبين ينغلبون.